Most parents want to know that their kids are in qualified educational hands. But does qualified mean licensed when it comes to workers who provide specified services, especially applied behavior analysis for kids with autism in public schools? That's part of the question a bill in conference today hopes to answer. There is voluminous testimony, well over 400 pages, and already the bill has undergone three revisions since the original. Some of the input came from the Hawaii Association for Behavior Analysis, which offered comments. Kristen Koba Bird is the president of the Hawaii Association for Behavior Analysis, and she's on the line now. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on today.
Looking at this bill, which can be really confusing as a lot of people read not only the description of the bill, but also just wading through a lot of the testimony, it seems to be asking that question of how do we balance getting real care to kids who need it with the need to have people appropriately licensed?
Absolutely. And I think what we really look at this point is a need for collaboration in our state. As you mentioned in Department of Education, that there is a need for qualified professionals that can work with students with specialized needs. And so typically what we're talking about is behavior analytic services for students that have developmental disabilities or intellectual disabilities.
Can I interrupt you just for a second there? Because a lot of people hear that term, and that's one that obviously you live and breathe for, but for a lot of people, that's not necessarily part of their lexicon. Can you explain what applied behavior analysis is?
Absolutely. So applied behavior analysis is a science. So it's the science of human behavior, and we look at skill acquisition as well as reduction of interfering behaviors. Sometimes the easiest example we give for people is that we may teach an individual to do something simple that we take for granted, such as brushing their teeth. We break it down into very concrete steps and find a way that we can teach an individual to acquire those skills. When we talk about behavior reduction, we talk about students that face challenging behaviors, sometimes things such as aggression or self-injury, and we need to be able to work with those children so that they're able to access their educational curriculum.
So how can it be that somebody who is not necessarily licensed and who knows this as intimately as you do might be able to provide that same service?
I think that's a great question. And what we look at right now is we do have a variety of licensed professionals that do have behavior analysis in their scope of practice. They are licensed behavior analysts, or they're specialized teachers that have gone through specialized programs that do provide instruction in behavior analysis. I think the hard part with that, though, is then we're looking at a teacher that really has to fill two roles. They're working as, trying to fill the role of a behavior analyst and trying to run their classroom and be a teacher.
So you're really asking, is that fair to the teacher?
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the big concerns we continually hear in the media and from the Teachers Association is that they don't have the support that they need to be able to stay in their positions and be able to educate our children effectively.
So how do you create some sort of balance with that when already we know that we are very needy of teachers, and also the fact that we have kids who have special needs who need to have training and help throughout the school day, not just before or after?
Absolutely, and that's essentially what we're looking at from our perspective, is that bringing in licensed behavior analysts really helps that system. It supports the teachers that may be first-year teachers that are green, that don't have the experience. It also supports the seasoned teachers that need that extra help because they're supporting other new teachers and working as mentors. So really trying to put the specialists in place for the students that need them so we can make comprehensive plans and work collaboratively to meet their needs.
What about oversight, Kristen?
I think that's a great question. What we've really focused on in this bill and this session is that oversight. Typically, when we think of behavior analysis, it's a tiered service, which is unlike most other services, in that there is a direct care staff or a paraprofessional that implements a lot of the day-to-day programming, and they really do need a high level of oversight and training to be able to do that effectively, and that's what we're looking at. We recognize that teachers are in a difficult position trying to oversee many things throughout their day. By adding a licensed behavior analyst to that equation, they're better able to support the team altogether.
Doesn't this bill also deal with what happens at home with parents and with other caregivers?
That's kind of the interesting thing. So this bill is actually a law that was passed last year in the 2015 session for the licensure of behavior analysts. The bill that we're looking at this year is specifically looking for an exemption for the Department of Education. So it does talk about what happens at home in terms of overseeing behavior analytic programming that may be paid for, say, by health insurance or by Quest.
Specifically what?
I'm sorry, specifically for the insurance of what's being paid for?
No, I mean, specifically how does that process work that would be different?
So for insurance or for some of those services, they would be ordered by the doctor, and behavior analysts would provide the service. In that case, we may train the family. We may put a registered behavior technician, so they are a certified direct care staff that are overseen by a licensed behavior analyst, and they would work with a child in the home, in the community, potentially a center location in which they're able to address a student's or a child's needs.
Some of what we've heard from parents is that, you know, it's been very, very difficult for them to access services all the way around, and that very often they're the ones who have to pay for it, and that has been costing them far, you know, more than they ever anticipated, but of course it's for their child. Does this make it really any easier for a parent to have a more well-integrated, not only IEP, but also lifestyle for their child?
Absolutely. If this bill works successfully, we could improve the services that are available within the Department of Education. It would create a vast difference for families and for children, essentially being able to access the quality treatment and services that they need. Some of the concerns that we're facing right now is we just passed insurance reform as a state, and so meaning that insurance must cover autism treatment. We were the 42nd state to pass in the nation, so a little bit behind the times. And Medicaid has also started to cover. But what we're seeing this year as this is rolled out is that the health plans are putting restrictions on services, saying that they can't be provided to children in school and based on the idea that they're receiving.
Which brings us back to the Department of Education and looking at some of what they've said, which is, you know, this all looks really very good, but we're going to need more time to implement it. And then again, what about additional staff and money to be able to do that?
Absolutely, and we agree with that. You know, we really do need to work collaboratively as a state between the different departments. So between DHS and Quest, as well as the Department of Education and the Department of Insurance, to be sure that we can meet these needs. When you bring up money, I think that's a really important.
I think it sounds like we're losing you a little bit, Kristen.
Oh. Is that any better?
That's a little bit better. Thanks.
Sorry.
No,
about
we heard we just heard a little bit about that, but. In saying, okay, we should be working collaboratively together, it's one thing to say that. Another thing, what does that actually mean? And especially when you're looking of, you know, the top priorities of the top priorities, and certainly for parents who have children who are on the autism spectrum, their child is a top priority, and yet having to fit that into the pot of money. What do you do to be able to say, here's how we do it and here's how we make it work? I know that's a big, tall order.
Absolutely. So a good first step would be utilizing school-based claiming funds. And so what that is money that is available for Medicaid recipients to receive behavioral health services in the Department of Education. Currently, the department is not able to utilize those funds because they do not have the licensed providers required. If they use the licensed providers, they would be able to pull down additional funds, which would really help to establish that system in terms of making a larger pool of funds available to in qualified professionals in the department, and then looking at collaboration between insurance and education to ensure that there's no undue restrictions on children's care.
And a lot of that may be starting with the bill that's in conference this afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Kristen Koba-Burt is the board-certified behavior analyst and a Hawaii licensed behavior analyst. She's also the current president of the Hawaii Association for Behavior Analysis. As we mentioned, SB 1311 is scheduled for conference later this afternoon.